Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, we're out in the middle of with the model prayer, which, by the way, is a fun thing. Think about what we talked about yesterday about praying the will of God. This sermon is probably one of the best collections of the fundamentals of Jesus' teaching in all the Gospels. And the prayer that we're trying to learn from and think about, this model for prayer that Jesus gives, is almost exactly in the middle of this section of teaching. Maybe that's symbolic of just how central prayer is supposed to be if we want to be people who are doing the will of God. So I'm really glad you guys have taken the time to think about this, and we're all able to spend time together thinking about prayer in a more concentrated way. Anyway, later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words in chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Or if I understand it correctly, actually, it may be translated, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he won't give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be his name, his kingdom come, his will be done, how much more will he give what is good to those who ask him? We're going to talk about making requests of God. And I'd like you to look in the model prayer. I'm going to read it, and then I want you guys to tell me what kinds of requests. And I don't mean like exactly what the requests are, although actually you may want to know something specifically about the text. But if you had to describe the types of requests that are made in the model prayer, what kinds of requests would they be? Like, for instance, and I'm going to give you an example, like at home. If you asked your parents, hey, can I have some bread? That's a dietary request. You want to eat, right? Or if you ask your teacher in school for some information, that's an educational request. You get what I'm saying? So what if you had to kind of describe the types of requests in the model prayer, what would they be? Let me read it, and then you guys just kind of share. There's going to be different answers, even for specific lines. That's fine. That's great. I just want to hear what you guys have to say, and we're going to talk about it for a few minutes before we spend some time in prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forevermore. Amen. All right, this is a simple prayer. It's a short prayer. There's only a couple of requests even listed. But how would you categorize, or how would you describe the requests that are in this?
Sustenance.
Good. Okay, sustenance. A request for sustenance here and here.
A lot of the requests that they're making are like things that you really like need and require to survive.
Okay, survival requests. There's some of the sustenance kind of thing. That's a great point. Here's the name.
Deliveries for people, safety requests.
Safety requests, good. I like that. Yeah, safety requests. Go. Same thing? Okay, cool. That's great. Oh, yeah, good. I'm sorry. Just shout out to my back.
Forgiveness?
Yes, forgiveness. Good, good. Other types of requests you see? Yeah.
Salvation, you're thinking about like your kingdom come, your will be done, like asking God to be present.
Sure. Yeah, God's presence. That's the one too. Yeah. Great. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Praise.
Sorry?
Praise.
Right. Yeah, we see some praise kind of at the beginning, but certainly at the end. Yours is the glory of the kingdom forever. Amen. And I know there's some of your Bibles may have footnotes or may not even include that section because of different questions, but whatever. You and me.
The thing that will be done, praise is kind of a scary part of whatever you're praying after that is based on if God wills.
Sure, it's kind of informed by God's will. Good, yeah.
This seems really cool that he's making a point not to make his request like superfluous or anything.
Okay.
Like, it's only necessary request. He's not like asking for anything that he doesn't really need to be physically or spiritually about.
Okay. Good. Good, yeah. Good. Sure, yeah, and that was kind of expansive too, because there's a lot of ways you could get led into temptation. There's a lot of avenues in life that could happen. All right, really good. This is really good, guys. It's good to just ask for stuff. It's not some sort of disrespect. I know the past couple days we talked a lot about praising God and honoring God on the first day. Yesterday we talked about asking for the things and praying about the things that God is interested in, praying His will first. But it's important that we pray for the things that are on our minds. I really like that section in chapter 7 that we read, because it really reminds that when we come to God in prayer, we're like little kids. So I have a couple of kids. You guys want to guess what kinds of things my kids mostly ask for? Yeah, actually, that's good. Very good guess and very accurate. That's exactly right. Which sometimes is yes and sometimes is no on that. But they still ask for it no matter what. And sometimes they keep asking for it. You know? What other kind of stuff do you think they ask for?
Video games.
Sorry?
Video games.
They're too young for video games, but cartoons, they do ask for that a lot. You know? Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, sure, like stuff. Yeah, especially if you go to the store or walk by the toy aisle or something like that. They just ask for stuff. And sometimes we can do that, sometimes they can't. We can keep going, right? You guys get the point. I mean, my daughter has to play tag or hide and seek in our apartment, which is like as big as that stage pretty much and stuff, you know. But, like, we do that. So here's my point. She doesn't sit back and think, like, I wonder if I should ask this. It kind of feels like it's probably not very spiritual for me to ask it, or it's probably not really... Okay, here's my point to you guys. I would encourage you in your prayers to ask God for whatever. Because you're a child of God. Now what that means is you pray, your will be done, meaning, God, if I ask for it and the answer is no, then I'll be cool with that. Just like sometimes my kids are cool with the fact that sometimes the answer is no. And actually they're usually not cool with it at first. But within 5 minutes, they forgot about the cartoon or chocolate or whatever it was. They don't ever forget about tag, but you know what I'm saying. Everything else, they forget about. And here's my point, that actually, I think we should think about it that way. And rather than seeing prayer as like, all right, I need to perfectly calibrate what I need to say to God so I don't mess up or whatever, just ask for God whatever. And let Him, and trust Him. In this way, your prayers become an exercise of faith. I think you even see that in the model prayer. Give us this day our... not weekly, not monthly, not our daily bread. And I know that's a hard one for us to ask in some ways, because we got like multiple days worth of food in our fridge alone. We don't think about it that way. But I think the point of that request, give us this day our daily bread, it is. Give us what we need to be sustained and give it to us today. It's an expression of faith. What that also means is even when you ask for more extravagant things or things that aren't, they don't appear to be overtly spiritual. By the way, bread isn't overtly spiritual, is it? It's just bread. People who hate God eat bread. People who love God eat bread. Bread itself is not spiritual. But maybe what that shows is for the child of God, every request is a spiritual request. And maybe that's dumb. Maybe that's wrong. You need to test that out. But maybe that's the point, that when we're asking for things because I want to serve you, God, we've already gotten through that. We already prayed about that. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And so then once you get past that, just ask for whatever. Unless you know it's actually a sinful thing, right? Obviously. I'll give you an example of this. In the book of Samuel, I love the description that's given of what Hannah, when she was praying for a child. She didn't have to have a child. She could serve God without a child. But it said that she was pouring out her soul to God. What a great way to think about your prayers. That you could be someone pouring out your soul, which means whatever's inside of you, you just dump it out at God and let Him do whatever He's going to do with it. Go ahead, Ben.
One of the men from our congregation actually prayed and fasted
that brother there had that experience. James 5 talks about when people are sick, and some people debate whether that's sick with sin or sick in the body, but I think it's talking about maybe a little bit of both, but it's talking about, I think, at least talking about being sick in your body, or it is talking about being sick in your body in addition to sick when you're in your soul with sin. And the point is you can be healed. You guys think anybody in the Bible who prayed to God that they would be healed and they didn't? Or they had something in their flesh and they prayed to God a lot about it and the Father said no? Do you guys think anybody examples of that? Paul, when?
Or the buttons.
Yeah. He prayed a bunch of times. Paul, who had a direct uplink with God. And God was like, nope, sorry, buddy. Sorry, my son. It's not, you're not going to get that, right? So, but does Paul say to the Corinthians, now what I learned from this, I don't know why I'm acting like you're texting me, but anyway, we're going to go. What I learned from this was I shouldn't have been praying about the thorn in my flesh. That's not the lesson that he learned. He learned that he needed to trust God more. He learned that he needed to rely on his grace. But he didn't regret the prayer about those fleshly things. You get what I'm saying? Just pour your soul out to God. Talk about whatever you got. Relationship problems, school problems, problems with your parents, physical ailments, things you're stressed out about, things you're worried about. Whatever it is, pour out your soul before God. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 that we should, and part of our submission to God is to humble ourselves before him and to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. And one of the reasons we need to learn not only to pray the will of God, we did talk about that yesterday, it needs to be primary in our prayers, but also an essential part is laying yourself out, to humble yourself and say, God, I can't take care of this, but I'm trusting you to take care of it. Go ahead. No, me?
Well,
no.
Sorry.
Okay. I saw this on him somewhere over here. Go ahead.
So, you just mentioned, do not lead us into temptation. What's the point of that? Because I believe James says God never tempts anyone.
That's right.
Consider that a translation error, or what do you think that?
Steve might want to say something about that. He knows more about translations than me. The way I take it, though, is it's just an imagery thing. For instance, I wouldn't necessarily have to tempt you to lead you into temptation or to facilitate situations that might lead you to temptation. Actually, the point may be, God, I know you don't want to be tempted, and please don't even take me close to it. I don't even want to get close to it. It's kind of another version of praying the will of God. I don't want to sin against you. Don't lead me into it. Lead me away from it. And so there you go, but that's another thing. He's praying about his spiritual. He's praying about whatever. You get there, he's teaching us to pray about whatever. You guys get the point, right? Whether it's bread, whether it's overcoming sin, whether it's forgiveness from past sin, you pray about the things that are on your heart and in your life. Is everybody good? That makes sense? In some ways, maybe this is like the duh part of prayer. This is kind of how a lot of our prayers turn out anyways. But I do want to encourage you guys to think about your prayers more richly in this way and actually maybe get even more specific with the things you pray about. You know, and we're going to talk more about battling sin and temptation tomorrow in prayer. So, Ben, go ahead.
So, with this, I think this is a great point. But how do you keep from being selfish in your prayers as well? Because I think there might be the temptation to just, you know, see a pair of shoes that you want to say, God help me carry that pair of shoes.
Yeah.
It could lead to selfishness in your prayers as well that you don't trust.
Thanks for asking that question. Have you ever heard of supplication? A Bible word. What's a supplication?
A request.
A request. And due to a lot of times supplications, who are they supposed to get made for? Okay, good. Other people a lot of times. Actually, this is a fun fact. The first time that God talks about somebody praying, it's about Abraham praying for Abimelech. That's the first time. I'm not saying it's the first time they ever prayed or God ever thought about prayer. I'm just saying the first time it gets recorded in Scripture is about Abraham praying a supplication on behalf of Abimelech. Maybe that's one good lesson. I need to learn to incorporate in these prayers that I pray, it's not just for my needs, but it's also for the needs of others. I also think, I don't think my kids are being particularly selfish whenever they ask me for things they want. Now, I could facilitate their selfishness by doing things. And if they're not humble enough to take no for an answer, then that demonstrates some selfishness. And that's where I think we learn greater humility and greater selfishness. When we ask things of God, and he says no. He doesn't let you have that car that you wanted or whatever the thing was that you were praying about. That's an opportunity to learn, you know what, maybe I didn't need that. Maybe I need to suffer in this way, or maybe I need to go without. Or whatever. So those would be the two things I would suggest. I mean, that's what I would suggest. I mean, that to me, I think one is making sure part of our pouring out our soul is pouring out our soul on behalf of others for God and being cool with when God says no. That's my take on that. That's a great question. Other thought. And by the way, remember, this is after we've honored God, thought about God. This is after we've prayed the will of God first. And I don't mean every single prayer has to go with this formula, but Jesus does lay this out as a model of priority for our prayers. We're praising, honoring, thanking God, thinking about him, our relationship with him. We're praying his will, his kingdom come. And then we're coming to the stuff that all of us are concerned about and that we think would be best. We're the kids coming to the Father saying, hey, can I please have the chocolate and cartoons? You get what I'm saying? And probably more important stuff than chocolate and cartoons. I'm not saying leaving me out of temptation is chocolate. You get my point. Any other thoughts you guys want to say before we kind of break up, spend some time in prayer? All right, there's probably more to be said. One practical thing I'm just going to suggest, there's some of the handout has some stuff you can take it or leave. Most of it's just some thoughts. But one practical suggestion I know other people do, I'll just tell you guys, I'm not good at this, but other people are really good at it and they enjoy it a lot. So I'm telling you, you should start doing it and encourage other people to do it so they'll be better than me in prayer. Learn to jot things down that you want to pray about or that you are praying about. Two things about that. One is you're like, I don't know what I want to pray about. By the way, I'm going to encourage you to do this in just a few minutes when you get together your group. Just what are things on your mind? What are the things stressing you out? What are the things you're worried about? What are the things you want? What are your dreams? What are your hopes? Just write them down and then pray through them. And by the way, when you pray through your list, you'll probably add to it as you go because you're talking to your Father and it's just going to come out that way. The other cool thing about that is that after you write these things down, then what happens is 6 months down the road, you've written all these things and then you go back and you open up your journal and you read it and you start looking like, oh, wow, oh, I forgot I prayed about that. And this thing happened. All right, thanks, God. And hey, there's another thing. Thank you, Father. And you get to actually, it leads you back into praise and thanksgiving of the Father and thinking more about His will. You get what I'm saying? It kind of leads you back into more prayer whenever you take these things down and jot them down in writing. Okay, everybody feel good? All right, we're going to break up. Whatever group you were in yesterday, we're going to do the same groups today. And here's what I'd like to encourage you to do. Go back to the list yesterday. Pick one of the prayers in that list, one of the shorter ones I'd recommend. And just pray that prayer, especially the ones in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, I'll suggest. Those are probably the easiest ones. They're kind of universal, just spiritual needs that God puts. And actually, I'd encourage somebody in the group just to kind of pray it. Put your own words on it. Put your own spin on it. But the concepts of it, you might want to pray that. And then I'd encourage you guys to take 5 minutes to everybody just jot down some things that you'd like to pray about. And then just go around your group. And by the way, if y'all want to riff on this and kind of remix it, I trust you guys. Y'all can do it however you want to. Just make sure you're spending the time well. Actually working on pouring out your souls. Asking. Seeking. Knocking at the door of the Father. Everybody feel good? Alright, so go to wherever your group was yesterday. If anybody forgets or doesn't know where they're supposed to go, just come find me. But wherever you were yesterday, go to that same spot and do that. If anybody has any questions, I'm going to be watching and I'm not in any group, so y'all can raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah.